Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olumi 613 Chicago with a live studio audience. I know you've missed them. They have missed you. The live studio audience is back. Yes, everyone. Wishing everyone an amazing week ahead. Things are rocking and rolling here at Olumi 613. All sorts of exciting things. Engagements. Yes, weddings. Jewish people are rocking and rolling here with the next generation. And yes, our young people are getting married, and that is very exciting. So I'd like to give a big mazel tov to Malka Goldenberg and Tyler Friedman, two Olumi 613 participants, on their engagement last week. So super excited about that. May you build a bayis ne'amon b'Yisrael, a faithful home among the Jewish people. And that is the classic mazel tov greeting blessing that we give to a young couple, newly engaged couple, a faithful home, faithful, obviously, to each other, faithful to the Almighty, and faithful to the 3,800-year tradition going all the way back to Avram and Sarah. And trust me, folks, this will be a very faithful home among the Jewish people, two of our best and brightest, both of whom went and spent significant time in yeshiva and seminary, investing in their Jewish knowledge, their Jewish commitment, and they are both red hot, passionate, excited about being Jewish, and ready to launch this new family in the Jewish people. So super big mazel tov to you. And I just have to say, you know, when we get an engagement like this, this is following the wedding a few weeks ago, it just fires us up. Fires us up to continue doing the work that we love doing of turning the next generation on to being Jewish. Nothing better than being Jewish. There is nothing better than being Jewish. Should I say it again? Let's do it one more time. There is nothing better than being Jewish. It stems and flows from our staff who believe and live these ideals and hopefully infectious to our participants. So mazel tov all the way around. Now, here we go. We have an exciting Monday Motivation podcast for you. The Red Cow and You. You knew the rabbi was going to do a corny moo joke rhyming with you. Okay, because why not? And here we go. So the Red Cow is a fascinating chapter in the Torah, and it really highlights something absolutely fascinating. But before we have to do a quick current events of what is happening with the Red Cow. In June, literally not even a month ago, there was a red cow that was born in Israel. And it actually is very fascinating. It's a very rare event. Now, what constitutes a red cow? A para aduma first has to be female, not male, and it has to be red. Now, what does that mean, red? It can have up to one hair that is a different color. But as soon as it gets two non-red hairs, it's out. Disqualified. And no electrolysis. No laser. You can't pluck them out or zap them out. And so it makes it an extremely rare occurrence that you would have a red cow. Now, some people believe that it's causative. Meaning some mistaken people believe that as soon as a red cow comes, that is going to dictate that the third temple will be rebuilt. To explain everything is really, that's not the case. Why do people get excited? Because one of the last things that we need in order to resume the service in the temple, well, aside from the temple itself, there happens to be a big golden dome there. Not getting any political discussions, but okay, whatever. But assuming we can overcome that hurdle, the Almighty will figure out what to do with that. Nevertheless, the Jewish people is in a state of impurity from being in contact with a dead body. Anyone who's been to a cemetery or even been to a hospital most likely has come in contact with the dead. You don't realize it, but anything under one roof, the laws of spiritual ritual purity indicate that anyone who is under one roof with a dead body, even in a distant room, still is contaminated by this spiritual, basically tuma, which is called, but it's basically this encounter with death. Now, the only way to rid ourselves of that is to take a red cow, a para aduma, and slaughter it, and burn it, and take the ashes, and mix it in with water, and then being spritzed on day 3 and day 7 of the purification process with hyssop and cedar and all sorts of exciting stuff, and voila, after 1 week, one then could enter the temple and perform the service. And without this red cow, it's out. Nothing doing. Can't do it. And so therefore, when the birth in this past month of a red cow happened in Israel, people went crazy. They were so excited because they thought that just because there's a red cow means the temple's going to be rebuilt. However, it's not causative. Just because there is a red cow doesn't mean the temple is going to be rebuilt, although it does fan the flames of fervor that, God willing, we're getting closer and closer. But there was a little bit of an issue. They named the cow Tamima. Tamima, which means pure and perfect. However, Tamima has some issues. Tamima was handled by, you know, the regular agricultural handlers, and as is standard operating procedure, had a tag put in her ear. Oy vey, because the pasuk, the verse says that it needs to be viku alech, you should take for yourselves para aduma, tamima, a pure, perfect one. Asher ein ba mum, that is no blemish. And how big does the blemish need to be? Very small. The karshina seed. We're talking about 2 millimeters, something like that. 2 to 3 millimeters is what is acceptable to have a mum. However, the standard tag over here is beyond that. And therefore, according to most opinions already, even though they're saying they're going to decide on it later for that and other reasons, Tamima is out. So the rabbis would like to make an example of this, how to handle future para adumas, and probably a good idea that we should refrain from piercing the ears with the tag of cattle before identifying if it really does qualify as a red heifer. So, yes, so red heifer is alive and well. There are Christian groups in Texas who are actively trying to create a red cow genetically. Why? Again, they believe it's causative. As soon as the cow appears, everything's going to start happening. Again, we need a red cow, but it doesn't necessarily dictate that the third temple is going to be built. All right, there you have it. The exciting updates in the world of the red cow. But what is really going on over here? And why should we care? The red cow and you. And here's why we should care. Because the para aduma is the classic chok. The verse says in chapter 19 in the book of Bamidbar, of Numbers, it says, Zos chukas haTorah. This is the chok of the Torah. And it goes on to describe the mitzvah of the para aduma. Now, what does that mean? This is the paradigmatic chok. Now, I hear, Eskimos have 200 names for snow, and Italians have 200 something names for pasta. Okay. Jews have lots of different names for laws. Why? Because laws are important to us, and there's different nuances and types of laws. So one category of laws is mishpat. Mishpat is simply a law, meaning things that we can grasp, that make sense to us, that God gave us the ability to relate to them. Don't murder. Yeah, probably not a good idea. Be faithful to one spouse. Yeah, probably a good idea. Don't steal. Yeah. Even Lashon Hara, which is extremely difficult to do, even if it's true, we're forbidden to say negative things about other people, even if it's true. There are certain exceptions when you're saving someone from damage or harm in any way. But nevertheless, yeah, it makes sense. You really, it's, you know, it's tempting and whatever, and the whole society runs on it. But in reality, it's not nice. And everyone knows it's probably something that we should not do. Yet there's another whole category of laws called chukim, chok. It comes from the Hebrew word lachkok, to engrave, like written in stone. Like that's the way it is. It is written in stone, engraved in stone, and there's nothing one can do about it. And if we understand it, great. If we don't understand it, does not matter. The Almighty says jump, and we say, how high? And the question is, why? Why would Hashem give us laws like that? Well, to flip the question on its head, to be perfectly honest, every law is a chok. Every one of the 613 commandments, Hashem does allow us to understand some of them more or less. But ultimately, the fundamental reason why we do any of them is that God says jump and we say how high. If we understand it or not, that is the bottom line. So, however, as we said, God gives us certain understanding of other mitzvahs. Nevertheless, it is very hard for a Jew who is trained to use his or her brain to figure things out. Why in the world would God on purpose give us laws that don't make any sense on the surface? And the key to this answer, the answer to this question, can be unlocked by really the first Rashi on the Torah portion. He says, Zos chukas Torah, this is the chok of the Torah, lefisha satan, the satan, the Satan, the forces of evil, v'umas ha'olam, the non-Jews, monim es Israel, oh, they take the Jewish people to task, they complain about the Jewish people, lomar, ma mitzvah zos, what is this mitzvah, why are you doing this, u'ma tam yeshba, and what's the reason for it, lefika kasav, but chukah, gzerah gimilfanai, that's why it's written a chok, that it is really engraved in front of me. Ein lecha reshus lahaher achra. You have no permission to start seeking justifications for doing it with reason. You just have to do it. Now, the non-Jewish nations and the Satan don't like this. Why? What is it about this? What they and the non-Jewish people and the Satan love, you know, don't murder and don't steal. They don't like those laws either. This is one of the main reasons why we've been so unpopular, is because we do stand for moral code. So what is it about this mitzvah that riles them up so much? Okay, and here's the answer. And the answer is the classic example that I always give. So if I've given this on a podcast before, please forgive me, but we always have opportunity to review. And here's the scenario that you're walking down the street and someone comes up to you in a panic and he says, sir, I need you right now, life or death issue. I need you to get to Zimbabwe. I have a ticket waiting for you. Please go to O'Hare Airport and someone will be waiting for you on the other end. And it is a life or death issue and you have to go right now. And I cannot tell you why. You just need to go, but it's life or death issue. You look at that guy and maybe smile a little bit and you bolt. You run as fast as you can. And yet, take two, scene number two, the same thing happens and your mom calls and says, I can't explain it, but it's a life or death issue and I need you to get to O'Hare Airport and I need you to take the next flight to Zimbabwe. And what's the response? The response is that we get into our car or the Uber or whatever it is and get ourselves to the airport without going home first and taking a shower, and we get to the airport to get on that flight to Zimbabwe. And the question is, why? What is the difference? And the difference is clear. Is this guy on the street? We don't know from Adam. We don't know who he is. But mom, we trust. We trust mom. We don't know why she's asking us to do it, but because of the relationship that exists, it demands and supports that even if I don't understand it, it is the right thing to do. And I trust that there is a greater good for fulfilling this command. And folks, that's why the Satan and the nations worlds do not like when the Jewish people follow the chukim, these quote-unquote irrational, illogical mitzvot, commandments. Why? Because they bespeak of the beautiful, deep, trusting relationship of God and the Jewish people. This is who we are. This is how we roll. The Almighty says jump. We say how high. Why? Because Hashem has street creds. We have trusted him and relied on him since Abraham and Sarah 3,800 plus years ago. And this unbelievable spiritual startup is still rolling, stronger than ever. And Hashem has the street creds that we trust him and we lean into his chukim and we say, I may not understand it, but I trust you, Hashem, that this is the right thing to do. And I am going to serve you. And I'm not going to put my own reason as the ultimate arbiter for what I do and why I do it. Now, this is extremely difficult for the Jewish people because God has commanded us specifically to learn Torah and to delve into the depths of why we do things. You know, you ask a Jew a simple question, you're going to get an hour-long answer. Why? Because we are trained. We are trained from a very young age to ask questions. This is not a religion that we cut our heads off. We focus on asking questions and plumbing the depths. And yet, when push comes to shove, when the Almighty says jump, we say, how high? And that is the greatness of the Jewish people. Now, I'd like to give you a quick little example of how we can bring this home to make this the red cow and you. Okay, I won't moo a third time, at least now, but maybe we'll get one more moo in before the end. All right, so here we go. I'd like to give you an example, and it happened in our own home tonight. I said this is the perfect example for a para adumam. So one of the chukim, believe it or not, are the laws of keeping kosher. The laws of keeping kosher. In other words, there are many allusions. You know, there's certain people say that the animals that are kosher are ruminant. They're not predatory. Okay, you know, the fish that are kosher with fins and scales, they're not the predatory ones. I don't know. Then someone comes and talks about an attacking killer salmon. You know, there are certain allusions people might say, but ultimately what's kosher and what's not kosher is literally what Hashem wrote in his Torah. And we don't fundamentally know why one thing is kosher. Not God could have written in his Torah, eat pig, you know, and cow is forbidden, but he didn't. And so therefore that is a chok. Now, one of the other crazy chukim dealing with kashrus is milk and meat. We're not supposed to mix milk and meat. And I can give you, and we have over here discussed many times, the symbolism of what it means to boil a baby goat in its mother's milk and what that has to do about cruelty and using a substrate of compassion that we feel that our compassion is great, yet sometimes we use our compassion to be the agent of cruelty. And we have to check where we are compassionate. Now, I give you that whole thing, and it's a beautiful podcast. But ultimately, why don't we mix milk and meat? We don't know. God said jump. We say how high. And so tonight, I'd like to highlight our youngest daughter, Batsheva. Batsheva Esther Garvigal. We had a fleishik dinner. We ate meat for dinner. And my other daughters had baked really delicious looking muffins that were milchik, actual milk in them, not just in a milk oven, like real milk products in those muffins. And they had a crumble cinnamon top. Ladies, cinnamon top? Streusel's top. I got a correction here from the audience, from the live studio audience. It looked really good. And Batsheva really wanted them. And she said, I really want it. But we said, Batsheva, they're milchik. They're milchik. You can't have them because you've had them. You haven't waited long enough after eating meat to have milk. And even though it was tough for her, she said, of course, I won't eat the muffins. Now, God willing, she's going to have them tomorrow. It's going to be great. That will be her Monday motivation. but it is unbelievable that a 9-year-old girl is not eating a milchik muffin because Hashem said not to do it. I find that inspiring. I find that unbelievable that this is our people. This is how we train our youth to be disciplined, to be dedicated to what Hashem wants. If it makes sense to her or not that we don't mix milk and meat, we don't do it. We are obedient to the Almighty. And this has been our secret sauce. This is why we're still alive. And any Jew who doubles down and says, Hashem, I'm all in, he or she and their descendants will still be alive in the generations to come. And sadly, so many are falling away because they ultimately have not bowed, have not dedicated themselves most of the time through no fault of their own to a higher logic, the Torah logic, the God logic, the logic that says, when our loving parent in heaven says jump, we say how high, if we understand it or not. And folks, that is a challenge for you, for all of us this week. The red cow in you. What areas of life can you kick up a little bit more in terms of your Jewish observance? Men, there are these things called tefillin. Okay, the remembrance of leaving Egypt, but ultimately why they're black and the seven stripes, seven times we wrap it around our arm. What in the world? But they're our glory. Hashem says jump, and we say how high. And ladies, so many opportunities to serve Hashem, be it prayer, be it in keeping kosher, be it in Shabbos and lighting candles before Shabbos. So many opportunities. And you guys are already starting the week well with Monday motivation. And that, God willing, this lesson of the red cow, that we are in it to win it. We are dedicating ourselves to the Almighty. We give the benefit of the doubt to the CEO of the universe, to our loving parent who has shepherded us for 3,800 years, that he knows what he's doing. And we see the proof in the pudding that the Jews who are dedicated to that, they're the ones who are living. They're the ones thriving. And God willing, we will all be able to plug into that this week and going forward. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.